Hello, everyone. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show. Episode 180, to be exact, where it's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Simple and practical common sense preparedness. No tinfoil hattery. I don't go into all those tinfoil hat conspiracy type zombie apocalypse stuff. Yeah, I'm not saying that that's not valid, although I gotta scratch my head and wonder sometimes, you know, whether that's very realistic or not. But I suppose there's an argument that could be made that some of that stuff is realistic. There are plenty of other podcasts for you to get that from. This is not going to be one of them. I just keep this rooted in common sense. So, this week's show is going to be about exercising your rights. Now, I'm not going to make this show political. I try to, as much as I can. As a matter of fact, I got in trouble for a recent show that I did on the political stuff. As a matter of fact, when I was talking about optimism, last week in the last show when I was talking about optimism, I spent a little bit of time on politics, and it wasn't really taking one side or the other. I was trying to illustrate a point, yet somebody took me to task. Somebody was not listening to the entire context of what I was saying, which is typical. You know, when you go out in public and you say stuff, and this is public, folks, this podcast, even though this is on the internet, it's still public. And it's one of the things, if you're deciding to become a podcaster, if you want to become a podcaster of any sort, I'm going to tell you something. The more popular that you get, the more people who listen to your show, the more critics you're going to have. And there are some people that don't listen to the entire point. And they'll pick and choose one or two sentences out of what you say. I'm warning you that's going to happen. My whole context in the beginning of last week's episode was that politicians do change their minds. And I used Ronald Reagan as an example of someone who changed their mind. I'm not going to go into all the details, but somebody didn't appreciate that too much. I don't know why. You know, and they took a couple sentences. Actually, they took one sentence I said. One sentence, and they ran with it. Now, I always like criticism, folks. I like criticism. I like constructive criticism, comments, questions, and everything. Just do me a favor, if you would. Listen to the entire message, the whole point, instead of just taking one sentence or one paragraph. Because the comment that I received, the person wanted to talk about how bad of a president Ronald Reagan was. Well, that wasn't my message. The whole message was not how good of a president Reagan was. The whole message was that Ronald Reagan changed his life. He changed his mind. Excuse me, not his life. He changed his mind. He changed his political views. Anyway, this show is not about politics. This is about exercising your rights. Now, I think a lot of people will agree. And again, listen to my words carefully. Maybe not everyone will agree, but a lot of people would agree that our rights are beginning to erode. And it doesn't matter if you live in the United States or if you live in another country. And as I travel down the road here, I'm cruising down the interstate between business appointments here. I'm in my car, my studio on wheels here, talking to you. As I do this, I got a few notes on this that I want to share with you, and I got these notes taped to my dashboard like I like to do so often. Some of you are listening in from other countries. I'm flattered that I have international listeners. You'll probably agree, though, that even where you live, our rights are slowly being taken away. Again, this is not a political message, but it's definitely a survival and preparedness topic, because I believe that one of the keys to survival is also what we do in our daily lives. You know, it's not so much what other people do, but what we, as personally responsible citizens and independent thinkers, do. I believe if you're into preparedness and you're into survival, you're into storing food, if you're into storing water and generators and things like that, and raising animals, and if you're into gardening, and if you do like I've been doing lately, I've been trying to learn some skills, like I've been trying to figure out, learn some mechanical skills so I can fix my own vehicle and stuff like that in case the stink hits the fan, there's nobody around to fix my car, maybe I need to bug out, maybe I need to leave, maybe I need to evacuate, or I'm on a road trip somewhere, my vehicle breaks down, basic stuff. I'm trying to accumulate tools and knowledge to mechanically repair not just my vehicle, but just about anything with an engine. Because there's so much that runs on engines, and even electrical stuff. You know, I spent a lot of years selling electronic security products, so I have a basic working knowledge of electricity. And I'm trying to expand that knowledge. I believe strongly in skills. So that's my quest, and I hope that within a couple years, the stink doesn't hit the fan bad enough to where I got to put those skills to use, because I'm not quite there yet. But hopefully within a couple of years, I'll have a much better knowledge to be able to do some of my own repairs on things. That's kind of what I'm trying to do. That's a survival skill that I think will pay off greatly. And so during this quest for knowledge, you know, I'm also trying to encourage people with this podcast to exercise your rights. Because they get taken away from you, I believe, if you don't do that. And again, so this is not a political message. This is just a message to try to motivate you not to become complacent. I believe one of the reasons why so many rights are taken away from us is that we don't use them. And we don't have large numbers of people using them or using them enough. Let me explain what I mean. Let me explain exactly what I mean. Let's talk about guns for a minute. Now, this is not a firearms show. I do another podcast. Many of you who listen to this show, you also listen to another podcast that I do, which is called the Handgun World Podcast. And that's all about guns, guns, guns. But today's survival show is not about guns. I do want to make a point, though, that in the United States of America, at least, many states, not all, many states give citizens the right to own and carry guns. Okay? You have to have a permit in most states, but they give you that right. Well, there have been record number of people applying for and receiving their concealed carry licenses and buying firearms. The nice thing about this is it is a right that we do have in this country, and the more people who do it, there is power in numbers. The more people who do it, I believe, the harder it's going to be for the government to take that right away from you. Just my personal belief. There is strength in numbers. It's like anything else. There's strength in numbers. The more people that gang up, the more people that band together and do something, the harder it is to defeat them. I hope you'll agree with me on that. So, you know, somebody once said, and I really believe this, they said the best way to advance gun rights and continue to advance our gun rights is to create more gun owners. Isn't that true? Because the more people who own a firearm, the more numbers there are, and pretty soon when the government, if the government ever tries to take those firearms away from us, there's going to be millions and millions of people saying, hey, wait a minute. No, you don't. You don't. This is my personal property that I worked hard and I paid for, and it's my right to own it. You're not taking it away. And think about if there's tens, maybe hundreds of millions of people that own something. I really believe it's going to be harder for the government to take it. Let's talk about another subject here. Okay. Let's talk about voting. Since this is the political season, let's talk about voting. Let's not talk about who you should vote for or which way to vote or which party to vote for. I'm just talking about voting, period. You know what frustrates me? Even though the last few elections we've been, I think we've been setting some records in turnout. It's not enough. Only a little over half of the people who are eligible to vote actually do. How come everybody doesn't vote? Why? Why is that? Has that ever frustrated you? You know, I remember when I was a kid. I was a little kid. You know, my dad died when I was 13 and a half. Okay? But I remember a lot of what he taught me before then. And I remember him saying, Bob, if you don't participate, you don't have the right to complain. And he said that applies to almost everything in life. And it really applies to voting. If you don't participate, if you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain. And I still agree with my dad today. At the ripe old age of 50 years old, I still agree with that. Participate, folks. Go out and do it. It's a right that you have. If you're not registered to vote, hurry up and get registered. You know, I mean, I don't know if you're listening from a state where the primary election has already taken place. If it has, hurry up and get registered so you can vote in the general election. I don't care who you vote for. I really don't. It's your American right to vote for whoever you want to vote for. Sorry, I had to grab a quick phone call. Business first. But it's your right to vote for whoever you want to vote for. Just go do it. That's my main message. Because the fewer people that vote, eventually, when you get pinheads in government, they're going to start taking some of the voting rights away from us. Think about it. You know, something else, owning property. In this free country, as long as it remains free, and again, boy, I tell you, I worry just like all of you how free our country is going to remain, buying property. Whenever you can afford it, buy property. Buy property. I'm not so much suggesting a bug out location, although if you can do that, if you can buy property and have a retreat somewhere, that's terrific. If you're in that situation. Now, I'm not saying going into debt to buy property, because I'm very much against debt. I really believe that debt is just an absolute killer, and it's been so wonderful living debt-free. It really has. For several years now, my family and I have lived debt-free, and we treat debt like it's the plague. We just try to avoid it. And believe it or not, folks, you can go through life buying only what it is that you can actually pay for. Don't be fooled by all the marketing gimmicks and all the keeping up with the Jones tricks that manufacturers of products like to use to get you to buy things you don't need or can't afford. Please don't be fooled by that. A good survivalist, a good prepper, doesn't do that. They don't strap themselves and saddle themselves with insurmountable debt, because how can you buy anything else? How can you prep? How can you put away supplies and food and first aid materials and all the preps that we talk about on this show and many of the other podcasts and blogs and forums out there? How can you do it if you're strapped and saddled with debt? But if you can buy some property, do it. Buy it now while you can own it. Think about that. It's our right to go buy property. Well, the more property owners there are, I really believe the harder it's going to be for anybody to take the right of owning property, and the harder it's going to be for people to tell us what we can and cannot do with the property. See, one of the problems that we have right now at this point is there seems to be a shift taking place in property ownership because of the rotten economy that we've had the last several years, because of the housing crisis, because of the mortgage and the finance crisis, because of the collapse of our system. Seems to be more and more people losing their property, and they're not property owners anymore, and they're moving into housing where they don't own what they're living in. And I fear that that's going to open up a huge window for, you know, idiots in government and people who don't have our best interests in mind to be able to control us. I think the more property you own, it's a right that you have. The more you own, the more free you are. And in the United States of America, at least, we have to remember that this country was mainly founded by property owners. As a matter of fact, early in our nation's history, I don't know if most of you know this or not, but early in our nation's history, only property owners had the right to vote. Now, that's obviously not the case it is today, and I like the system that we have today. I like the people who are eligible to vote. It's far much easier these days. It's far easier to be able to have the right to vote than it used to be. I'm not saying that we should return to those days, but that is the way our country was founded. So think about that. You know, vehicles. It's important that you exercise your right to buy whatever the heck you want. Quit listening to the government try to tell you what you can and cannot purchase. Use your freedoms. Drive whatever you want. Drive whatever you can afford. I happen to drive an older vehicle. I've got a 10-year-old Honda I'm sitting in right now talking to you. It's paid for. It's paid for. I need to get one of those stickers to put on the back of it, on the bumper that says, don't laugh. It's paid for. I'm going to drive this thing until it can't be driven anymore. And for most Hondas, that's a long time. My repair bills are not even anywhere close to a new car payment. New car payments suck, folks. Man, they're terrible. Car payments of any kind, it's the worst, absolute worst debt you could possibly have. It's just the worst place to put your money is in new cars. But some people prep by having what's called a bug-out vehicle. That's a good thing. Exercise your right to do that. It's your right to own more than one vehicle. Even though there's jerks in the government that want to try to limit you to how many vehicles you can own. They try to tell you what you can drive. Oh, you got to drive an electric car. Okay? And there's some jerks in our government right now. If they had their right, everybody would be driving Chevy Volts. Problem is nobody wants to drive a Chevy Volt, and that's why Chevy's discontinuing the manufacturing of that car. People don't want it, but there's jerks that are trying to shove it down our throats and say, this is what you should own. Exercise your right to own whatever you feel like owning. And by the way, to Old Soldier, Old Soldier has been a longtime member of our forum. I'm really sorry about what happened to your Jeep, sir. I remember early on in the podcast, I complimented you on your Jeep. And, man, what a tragedy. Folks, go on the forum. Go to today's Survival Show forum and look at the pictures of his burned-up Jeep. I mean, it's just terrible. It's terrible. That was his bug-out vehicle, from what I understand. I hope you can get that replaced soon. So check it out. Go to today's Survival Show forum. If you're not a member, go to todayssurvival.com. That's the website, todayssurvival.com. My email is bob@todayssurvival.com. Two S's in that, by the way. todayssurvival.com or bob@todayssurvival.com. There's a forum button. You can click that forum button. And by the way, you can join our forum. You can lurk around and look, but I'd love to have you join. If you join the forum, would you please do me a favor? Many of you have been doing this. Please send me an email telling me that you signed up. Send me an email, a real quick one, bob@todayssurvival.com, and just tell me your username or the email address that you used. It's the best way I can think of to keep spammers out. If you're listening to this show and you want to join and you send me that email, I know that you're not a spammer, and I'll approve your account, probably approve it within about 24 hours. I'm usually pretty good at least once or twice every day. I check that forum for new members, and I'll approve you. So join our forum. It's a good group of people, but please send me that email after you register for it, okay? So go on there and take a look at that. But buy a vehicle if you can. I mean, even if it's a $1,000 bug-out vehicle that you pay cash for. If you can afford that, do it. It's your right. The more people that own certain types of vehicles, the harder it's going to be for jerks in the government to tell us what to drive. It's driven by demand, no pun intended. But really, isn't it? It's all about demand. It's all about what the people want. And that's the way it should be. It's about what people want. It's called taking personal responsibility for your own life. Grow and can and store as much food as you can. Buy as much food as you can. Store as much ammunition as you possibly can. It's your right. It's going to be harder for people to take it away from you the more you have. The more people that have it, the harder it's going to be. Encourage your neighbors who are not prepping to start doing things. You know, I want you to set a goal. And this is one of the things, one of the reasons I do this podcast. And it's one of the reasons I smile from ear to ear every time I look at the listener count. And I look at how many downloads. It's over a couple of thousand every week. I think it's actually inching closer to 2,500 downloads per week. I smile every time I see that grow in numbers because of what I'm going to say next. Encourage people around you to start prepping. The more of us that prep, the harder it's going to be for jerks that want to make us quit doing that, the harder it's going to be for them to do it. We have power in numbers. Survivalism and prepping, it's becoming more and more mainstream every year, it seems like. I hardly go for a couple of weeks without hearing a report on the news about somebody engaging in some common sense, modern day survivalism and prepping. And it's good. It's good to hear. It's good to hear news reports. Where I live in San Antonio, Texas, just recently on the local San Antonio news, there was a pretty nice little news report about a family that's putting things away and preparing, and they're putting away food, and they're, you know, the guy is very much into gardening, and he's growing a lot of food and stuff. And what was great was to hear that the news media did not paint a negative picture of the guy. The news media actually was positive about it. That's cool. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that don't have your best interests in mind, and they hold powerful positions, not just in government, but also in businesses. And they don't want you to be prepping. They don't want you to be taking personal responsibility. But we have power in numbers. It's one of the reasons why I've encouraged many times on this show, and I'm working on it in the new neighborhood, because the neighborhood we live in, we've only been here 10 months now. We just moved from our neighborhood in the Dallas-Fort Worth area down here to San Antonio. It's why I'm trying to put together people in the neighborhood that are like-minded like me, and I'm trying to network and get to know them. You know, establish a prepper's network. Establish a survivalist's, a modern common-sense survivalist network in your community. Take the lead. If there's not one in your community, why don't you take the lead? Take the lead and find out. Just ask some questions of your neighbors. Whenever you bump into people in your neighborhood, just ask questions. If they ever think about what if things get really bad? Are they prepared? Are they prepared if things get bad? What happens if a weather event comes through and we're all without power for a week? Are you guys set up for that? Just start asking those questions. That's kind of a great way to ask it. A lot of people have asked me, how do you open up a conversation with somebody about preparing? Well, you know, it's springtime. Springtime spawns a lot of bad weather. We've seen a lot of it already. We've seen a lot of damage from tornadoes already this year in the United States. We're going to see more, folks. You know, ask people, are you prepared for that? Have you ever thought about that? Man, it's going to shock you. I guarantee you it's going to shock you how many people that you find. These people don't even have more than 3 days' worth of food stored. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I cannot believe it. I can't fathom living that way anymore. With just, what, a few days' worth of food available in my home? That's scary stuff, but there's just so many people with their head in the sand. Think about that and talk to them. You know, you got to be nice. You have to set the example. You can't act like a nutbag yourself. You know, you can't act like you're some kind of a conspiracy theorist, or you can't start talking to them about the apocalypse and the zombie apocalypse that's about ready to happen next week. And boy, you got to get prepared for it. You know, if you start talking to them like that, they're going to shut you off in about 10 seconds. An old mentor of mine said you can be the most convincing when who you are says more than what you have to say. In other words, when who you are speaks louder than your words, that's when you're going to be the most convincing. I'll say that again. When who you are speaks louder than your words, that's when people are going to start to take notice. So, you know, if they like the way you live, and if they see you in your community, if you're trying to encourage people to get into some modern survivalism, if they see that you're a normal person, that you're a reasonable person, that you're not whacked out, and hey, you know what, you're probably a person that's pretty smart, and you got it going on, and hey, I kind of like the way that guy and his family live. I think that's kind of cool, and they're really nice people. If that's the attitude that people have of you in your community, you're going to have a lot more clout when you try to encourage them to prep. So the power in numbers. So every time I get an email from somebody, or somebody gets on the forum and they make a post that says something like, hey, you know what, I wasn't into survivalism, but I found your show, something made me listen to it, Bob, and I'm getting hooked and I'm getting into it, and it's good stuff, and I appreciate your common sense, no tinfoil hat approach, I smile. It's not all about me. This show is about you, folks. This is about you. It's why I love it when you guys give me ideas for shows and things. And actually, this podcast stems from an idea, because somebody sent me an email, and they didn't give me permission to use their name. They said, go ahead and talk about this if you want, but don't mention anything about my name, which is fine. I'm cool with that. I understand some people's privacy concerns. But they said, talk more about losing our rights and the power that we have in numbers, and the fear that some of our rights may be going away and it might be more difficult for us to prepare. And so that's part of the inspiration of this show. Now, the next subject I'd like to talk about, and that is kids. You see, kids are so important, I think, to our survival. Our survival as a society, but also our survival as families. And I am trying very hard every single month, and so is my wife. She's doing a real good job of teaching our son. We only have one child. We've got a 14-year-old son. We're trying to teach him how to be self-sufficient, how to have a self-sufficient thinking mind. The mind, the world he's growing up in is far different than the hobby farm lifestyle I grew up in. I call it a hobby farm because we were miniature farmers, and what I say is we had a small farm. We had a miniature farm that served our needs. We didn't farm commercially. We didn't farm to sell our produce or to sell our animals. We didn't make a profit. I grew up on a little homestead at 13 and a half acres up in Wisconsin. We raised our own beef. We raised our own pork. We raised our own poultry. We had a garden nearly, at one point it was nearly a 1 acre garden. Now we started shrinking it. That was a heck of a large garden. That thing was way too big for us. We kind of bit off more than we could chew when I was a kid gardening. So we kind of shrunk it and shrunk it and shrunk it. But it still was never, it was never smaller than a quarter of an acre. That's a big garden when you think about it. We grew that food, folks, for our needs. You see, the way I grew up, folks, after my father passed away, my mom didn't have an income. And so she was left to raise three young kids. My two brothers were younger than me, 5 and 9 years old. And here was me, almost 14. My sister, my half-sister, she didn't come along until several years after that. So my mom was raising three boys. So I tell you what, my mom always had a very self-sufficient mind about her. And fortunately, we started a lot of this stuff before my dad died. So we continued it. So because we didn't have much money, we had to take the least expensive route. And that at that time, working hard and growing our own food and raising our own animals for food, at that time, that was the cheapest way to go. And we were bartering and we were trading with farmers in the neighborhoods or in the area around us. You know, we lived out in the country, folks. So there were dairy farmers all over the place in Wisconsin. And we were trading things with these dairy farmers. Every chance we could get to trade some of what we had for what they had, we did that. Bartering. That's just called good old-fashioned trading and bartering. It seems to be a lost art. I've done some podcasts on bartering before. I might do another one coming up pretty soon. But that's the lifestyle that I grew up in. And we were always learning new things. This was back in the 70s. Well, my son doesn't grow up in a world like that. So we're having a difficult time, but we're making progress slowly but surely teaching him. You know, we use basic fishing trips. I use fishing trips as a way to teach him. Every time we go out, it's kind of a cool father and son fishing trip. You know, now it's spring break around here, so we're going to go make a family fishing trip out of it pretty soon. But, you know, there's a lost art. It seems like there's fewer people going out and learning how to catch fish. What a great survival skill, is it not? You know, put that on your list. If you're making a list of stuff that you'd like to learn, if you didn't grow up learning how to fish, go learn. It's not that difficult. Find somebody that knows how to fish. Tell them you'll pay the expenses for a fishing trip if they'll teach you how to do it. And let me tell you, if they love to fish, they'll take you up on it right away. You know, if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, Bob, let's go fishing. I'll pay the expenses." Hey, man, I'm dropping what I can do. I'm going to drop whatever I have to drop, and we're going. We're going. I'm like, "Hey, when can we leave?" It's like when somebody comes up and says, "Hey, Bob, I want to learn how to shoot. Can you teach me how to shoot?" Oh, yeah. I've had people say that. "I'll buy you lunch. I'll buy the ammo. I'll pay the range fee. Can you teach me how to shoot?" Boom! I'm out there as fast as I can. So do that. Learn how to fish. And one of the great things, you know, one of the cool things about learning a skill is one of the best ways to learn a skill is to teach it to somebody. So I'm going out there. We're going out there trying to teach our son how to fish. It's our right. It's our right to do it. We're exercising our independence. That's what I'm talking about. See, you have a right to be free. You have a God-given inherent right to be free, and people are trying to take it away from you. Believe it or not, you might think I'm a little whacked out when I say this. You might think I'm a little screwy, but listen carefully to what I say. There are people who don't want you to be independent. There are people who don't want you to learn how to fish. There are people who don't want you to grow your own gardens because they're afraid that if you're not dependent on the food delivery system in this country, that they can't control you. You know, one of the best ways to control people is by controlling their food. You see that in a lot of third world countries. Dictators. Maniacal dictators will control the food supply, and if they can control the food supply, they control people, can't they? So when they can control when they can dictate how you eat, they have ultimate control over you because food is something you must have. If you know how to go out and fish, if you know how to go out and hunt, if you know how to grow your own garden and grow your own food, you become more and more independent. So if that's not on your list of skills to learn, it is your right. Exercise your rights. That's the theme of this show. Exercising it's your right. It's your right to do it, so learn how to do it. And be active. See, one of the things about skills, we've all heard the old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? Or it's commonly said, use it or lose it. Well, all these things that you have a right to do, you've got to use them. You've got to use them and you got to do them. You know, it's sad. The number of fishing licenses that are obtained every year in the United States has been decreasing. Did you notice that? You know, check into that. The number of fishing licenses for the last 10 years, it's been on a steady decline. Same with the hunting licenses. It's been on a steady decline, the number of people getting those licenses. And it's a sad thing. That tells me that people are not, as a whole, thinking enough about obtaining their own food. The hunter-gatherer lifestyle in people, it seems to be fading away. It's a shame. It's a real shame. So use your rights. You know, religion. Boy, I tell you what, here's another sensitive subject, and I'm not going to get too deep into religion because it can be very divisive, but one of the things that really saddens me, at least here in the United States, when I look at this political election season, it really bothers me that there are high-ranking government officials that have a lot of power trying to take away people's religious freedom. This is ridiculous, folks. I don't care what religion you are. You have the right to practice it. It matters not what religion you are. We have religious freedom in this country. And, you know, you can talk about separation of church and state all you want. That's fine and dandy. Separation of church and state also means the government can't get involved in your right to freely practice your religion. If you're a true believer in the separation of church and state, and I'm not, here's the thing, folks. Separation of church and state is a falsehood. It does not exist in the Constitution, and that's not what Thomas Jefferson meant when he wrote that letter to the Danbury Baptists. You can look it up yourself. We've perverted the original intent of separation of church and state. That being said, if a person is truly a believer in the separation of church and state, then they would also believe that anybody has the right to practice whatever religion they want without any government interference whatsoever. Because that separation is there. That wall of separation that says the government can't interfere with your religion, that wall of separation is supposed to be there. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people trying to take that away from us, no matter who you are, no matter what religion you practice. So, it's your right to practice your religion. Go do it. If you're not religious, that's okay. It's also your right to not be religious. You don't have to be religious. That's your right not to do that. Now, you don't have a right to go imposing your religion on other people. You just have a right to practice it freely without any interference from somebody else. So, for those of you who are not religious listening to this, let me give you a word of caution, please. This is just my personal opinion. You don't have a right. You do not have a right to tell another person that they can't practice their religion because it offends you. So what? So what if it offends you? They have a right to practice that religion. You have a right not to practice religion. If religion offends you, too bad. It's a free society. That is the definition of a free society, folks. Okay? Nor should a religious person give you a hard time because you're not religious. That's not good either. But boy, it really bothers me. I see a lot of this happening. So it's your right to be religious. Practice it. It's your right to freely practice it. Please go do it. And do it in large numbers. Otherwise, if you don't do it, those rights are going to get taken away from you. Trust me, there are people that want to strip you of your rights. There are people out there that believe that if they take away enough rights from people, if they can oppress people enough, they have ultimate control. And you know what? They're right. If they oppress you, they've got ultimate control. But all you got to do is look around the country. All you have to do is look at recent history and look around at what's going on right now. Look at some of the third world countries that are oppressed, that don't have any freedoms, that are being run by dictators. Look at what kind of life they have. Do you want that? Do you want this country to go down that road? I don't think you do. If you're an international listener listening to me, this might even be more important in your country. Whatever rights you have, please use them, exercise them, go out and demonstrate them as much as you can. Encourage other people to do it in large numbers. There's power in numbers. The more people that are doing something, I'm firmly convinced, the harder it is for the people that don't like it, the harder it is for them to stop you from doing it. Plain and simple. You know, I mean, go buy whatever gas-guzzling vehicle you want to buy. It's your right to do it. If you can afford it, if you can go afford to buy something that gets 18 miles a gallon on the highway and 15 in the city, if you can afford to do it. Go buy it. I went to the car wash the other day. Every once in a while, not often enough, but every once in a while I get lazy and I don't want to wash my car myself. Most of the time I do. 90% of the time I wash my car myself. I'm too cheap to pay somebody else to do it. But it got to the point where it just needed to be done. And so I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for my car to get finished, and it needed a professional wash. You know, about once every 4 or 5 months is when I take it in and I have somebody work it over pretty good. And there's a gorgeous 2012 Ford F-150 truck in there. I mean, this thing was loaded up, four-door, nice, you know? I mean, hey, here in Texas, we like our trucks. You know, I'm a Yankee. I grew up most of my life up in Wisconsin. Hey, up in Wisconsin, they like their pickup trucks up there, too. So I kind of come from that background. Oh, gorgeous truck. I look at the sticker. 18 miles per gallon on the highway, 15 miles in the city. And that's probably exaggerating. What a beautiful truck. I cannot afford to buy that and drive it. Plus, it means I would have to get involved in car payments again, and I just am not going to do that. I don't care how pretty the truck is. But hey, it's, you know what? It's people's right to buy those and to go drive them. And doggone it, if you can afford it, if you can pay for it, go buy it. I don't care if it's a gas guzzler. I don't care if it's a big, huge SUV gas guzzler. It's your right. Buy it. Drive it if you can afford it. Okay? Do that. Don't listen, like I said, don't listen to the people trying to tell you you have to drive Chevy Volts. Because if there was enough people that wanted a Chevy Volt, Chevy would not be discontinuing the production of it. I mentioned that earlier in this show. And finally, I'd like to wrap up this show with one more thing, and that is your right to free speech. Your right to speak out. Please do it. Please do it. I love it when I see all kinds of good activity on Facebook, when I see all kinds of good activity on forums and things and people speaking out. I think that's probably one of the top three rights that we possess that we absolutely have to protect viciously. And that is our right to speak out, our right to criticize, our right to speak truth to authority, our right to speak truth to power. Whatever you believe the truth is, you've got a right to speak it. Nobody should ever be squelched from what they want to say. Now, I want to tell you something. Just because you say something doesn't mean that everybody's going to believe it or agree with it. I mean, man, I say all kinds of stuff on this podcast that people don't agree with. If I had a dollar for every email I get from people that don't agree with what I say, or every iTunes review from people that don't agree with what I say, man, I'd have myself a real nice, cushy, extra income. I'd be making a lot of extra money on the side, folks, if I had a dollar. Just a dollar for every time somebody disagrees with what I say. That's okay, though. That's their right. And I'm glad to see it. See, I'm glad to see that people disagree with what I say. Of course, you know, I have to admit, I'm really glad when people agree with what I have to say. But I'm not arrogant. I'm not self-absorbed. You know, I've been called a self-absorbed yuppie. Yeah, right. If people knew me, if that person who gave me the comment that I'm a self-absorbed yuppie, if they really knew me, see, they don't really know me. All they do is they just hear some voice on the internet. They don't know me beyond that. They would not call me that. But you know what? It's their right to do that. And I'm glad to see that a lot of people are speaking their mind. It's their right to do that. I'm glad to see all the Facebook chatter out there. I don't agree with it all, but I'm happy to see it. There seems to be more speech going on right now than there ever has been, primarily because it's a political season. And political season, that seems to just gin people up. You know, it seems to get them going. It seems to just rile them up, which is okay. That's fine. That's wonderful. You know, look at all different sources of information. I love the fact we have all these different ways of getting information. The internet's a wonderful thing, is it not? I mean, the internet's tremendous. Blogs, forums, websites, all podcasts, all kinds of ways to get information. You got to be careful. You got to sift through it. You got to fact check things. But it's great. It's wonderful. We have a free-flowing informational society. But let me tell you what. There are a lot of people in positions of power that really hate that. And I'm going to go a little conspiracy theorist on you here as I close the show. Just a little bit. I'm going to get a little tinfoil hat-ish. I think the number one goal of people that are against those of us who are survivalists and preppers, and against those of us who are free-thinking, independent-minded people, I think their number one goal is to take away our right to free speech. And their number one goal is to take away our ability to interact and to speak the truth. And I think they're actively searching for every way they can. And I think one of the ways that they do it is through intimidation. Through intimidation, through the invasion of privacy. And that's how they intimidate you. Whether it's trying to get you to cough up your medical records, whether it's identity theft, which is another huge problem. Boy, you really got to protect that. That's a whole nother subject. Doesn't have anything to do with this podcast right now. Doesn't have anything to do with exercising your rights. But I really believe that there are people out there trying to identify the habits, the living habits of everybody out there so that they can control us. And I think there's an active movement right now going on to do that. Because you see, when people are free, when people can freely exchange ideas, when people exercise the rights they have to freely exchange ideas, it takes a lot of power away from the people in government that want that power. Because it's power in numbers. When you have hundreds of millions of people in a country, or tens of millions of people in a country, freely conversing, man, I tell you what, it makes the people in power shake in their boots. It just makes them shake in their boots because there's too many of us and not enough of them. Too many of us and not enough of them. Can you picture some pinhead in government or a group of people that want to control their society, and all of a sudden they bump into a couple hundred million people that are revolting against them? That's tough. A couple hundred million, that's tough. That's tough. And the people, the third world countries out there, or the countries run by dictators, unfortunately, they somehow got themselves in a position to where they can't overthrow the oppressive regime that's running their country right now. And we, in the United States especially, and even in other countries, but especially here in the United States, we must be very careful that we do not allow that to happen. We have got to. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the very survival of us as a people. And this is a survival subject because there could come a day where they won't let you grow a garden. There could come a day where they won't let you own a gun. There could come a day where they won't let you homeschool your kids. There could come a day where they won't let you store food. I'm serious. There could come a day where they'll cut off your water supply just because they can and because they have an agenda. And so that's why I say the more independent people there are and the larger our numbers get, the more free that we stay. So I encourage you to share this message that I've shared with you today. I encourage you to talk to other people about this. Please tell them about this podcast. Please tell them about our forum and so forth. And speaking of this podcast, I do have my Survival Champions Club. Recently, Wade in Louisiana did a really good interview with me. More than just the podcast interview he did with me, but he did a good interview about growing and using herbs. Now there is a symbol of freedom right there. When you can use nature, when you can use the herbs that grow in nature to nourish yourself, to perform basic medicine, or at least use them for some small, minor medicinal purposes, not replacing a doctor, but some small, minor medicinal purposes and things like that, that's good stuff. That's free stuff. So you know what I'm doing, folks, right now, is basically there are a couple versions of my Survival Champions Club podcast. My Survival Champions Club podcast is an exclusive premium podcast that I've put together for people who want to support my show. It's information I've never covered on today's survival show before. My show does not have sponsors, if you've noticed. I don't have a bunch of commercials that I run all the time inundating you with all that kind of stuff. This is a listener-supported show 100%. So go to todayssurvival.com if you want to support, if you want to buy all the versions of my Survival Champions Club podcast. I've got Matt Brasick from Midwest Disaster Medical who's on there giving out some excellent first aid advice. I've got Matt Chusnick in Austin, Texas, talking about knife and tool sharpening on there. As I mentioned, I've also got Wade in Louisiana talking about growing herbs and stuff. There's a lot of good info, a lot of good well-rounded survival info. Go to todayssurvival.com, click the link on there on the website that says Survival Champions Club Podcast, and you can read about it and make your investment. What I'll do is, if you decide you want to purchase it, I will email you a link, and it'll be a separate download. It'll be yours to keep. You could import it to your iPod or your Droid device or iPad or Droid tablet, whatever you want. You could listen to it. However you listen to this podcast, you can listen to it the same way. Just go to todayssurvival.com, click on the Survival Champions Club podcast link. That does it, folks, for this 180th episode. I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show on exercising your rights. It's been my goal to help you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Get active, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.